Welcome to Free Lunch, Free Food for Your Soul, another episode with your boy, The Real Free. Shout out to our sponsors this season, Dobie and Rollins Orthodontics, helping you love your smile. Make sure you get the teeth done right. Young people, young and old. My daughter goes there, so it's flame. And shout out to Free Branding LLC. The best version of your brand starts right here. And you guys see them rocking the freaking funny merch. That platform is being developed soon. But again, also check out another one of our season sponsors, Track Major Productions, y'all. Producing some of the dopest tracks from yours truly. And guess what happens to be our guest here today, Ro Miller from Track Majors. Visit the link in the podcast episode description for all our other sponsor links. Make sure you hit them up, y'all. Show them some love. So, my man Ro, you're no stranger to the show, man.
What's going on, man? We here. We here now.
All y'all love it when Ro comes through. It's such a treat. It's like a unicorn. When is the last episode that you've actually? Yo, it's really been a minute, bro.
The last one we did was good too.
Beside me, I think it was.
We did the.
Was it the one at Dre's studio? When we like first started? I think everything else was live that we
did. Nope, we did another one.
The one with Lee. I think that's the last one.
Nope. The latest one we did was when me and you did a live. We did at least two lives.
Well, I'm not counting the lives because they're not actually episodes. They don't get released.
Got you.
So the actual episode was probably with Lee.
Yeah.
That late night we had came through, which was hilarious.
Shout out
to Lee Majors.
We did one where we were talking about friendships. Was that an episode?
That was the having the inner circle or whatever.
Inner circle, yeah. That was that episode?
That was that first one, bro. And we had a part two.
That was the very, very first one. Okay.
Definitely.
Gotcha. That was a good one, too.
But I'm going to definitely try to get Lee Majors whenever he's visiting again. Get him back through here, man.
I love trying to get that, dude.
Yo, all y'all celebrities.
Shout out my boy Lee, man.
Lee Majors. Overflow.
What's good?
Overflow Rap League. Earlier today, I had also, I thought about after we had talked on the phone and then we had hung up, something else dawned on me that I said, I should call him back, but then I knew you said you got your day. Speaking of getting your day going, did everything you was supposed to set out to do get done?
Absolutely not.
Not even the cut?
Nope.
Tell me what went down with the cut. Did you tell everybody about themselves?
Nah. So what happened was my son had like some type of get together with one of his boys he had to go to. I forgot about.
Oh, so you wasn't even able to go take him to the cut?
No, so instead of him going, I was like, well, I'll go for that appointment and get myself cut.
Oh, okay. Got you.
I get there, no barber.
Even for your schedule time?
Yeah, for my schedule. Myself and another schedule appointment is there. Both of us like, no barber. He hit me up. He was like, yo, I'm in court. So I immediately was like, I'm going home. I don't know when that's gone. You know what I'm saying? So went home and actually spent a couple hours working on my project. New project coming out.
You didn't even decide.
Didn't get the workout in. Took the time to just work on. The energy that I had for the workout, I put into that project because it is daunting and one of the most. It's funny when you're producing and working on music and making records and mixing and mastering. Even though you're sitting down, it's one of the most mentally fatigued thing you can do, bro. Like, I legit have to get some coffee, energy drink, all that just to produce, mix, master, and edit a record because it takes a lot of patience.
Yeah.
It takes your ears got to be, like, locked in, you know, little things like that, man. And then also I'm simultaneously working on graphics that go with the project. So I took the energy to do that, man. So I was appreciative of the time to just get a couple hours of that in.
Well, before you had came earlier, somebody hit me up And I'm supposed to be doing an episode for the podcast with them tomorrow, actually. And they said this mental or emotional kind of response kind of hit me out of the blue, you know, kind of blindsided me. But they sent me a message and it was something to the fact of, hey, you ready for our episode tomorrow or something like that?
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe call it just maybe it being closer to the end of a long day, like usual here at the studio or something. But they, when I read the message, I was just hit with this overwhelming like feeling of, bro, it's so much in today still that I'm trying, like, I don't even think about tomorrow, bro. In a practical sense. Like, and by that I mean I don't think about tomorrow in ways in the micro planning way that maybe many people might do.
Yeah.
Like, I think about tomorrow in like a general sense, you know, making sure, you know, people I have on the schedule tomorrow, I have things in order like that. But like on that, like, you know, nuanced of a level, like, hey,
about it.
I use a calendar for the reason. So you know, I don't have to hold things in my head.
I'm the opposite. I don't have the calendar. I have the calendar, but it's not put together with the level of detail that you probably have it. So I got to think about tomorrow.
How are you not stressed by that?
I am.
Okay. So why?
Yeah, no. Nah,
why it's, not it's, now? It's put it on the calendar.
It's become routine, though, to just be like.
Trying to juggle in your head.
Trying to juggle Yeah, bro. It's nuts. It's nuts. I put too much faith.
What is the hindrance for you to just not then go to the whole calendar? Bro. Like, that's what prompted me is the stress. So why is the stress? Is it clearly high enough to get?
I think putting it on the calendar means this is gonna sound weird. Putting it on the calendar locks me into it. Like, you have to do it, and I want to feel like when it comes, a lot of the stuff that I gotta do, I want to feel like when it comes, I might not want to do this today. But if it's on my calendar, it means I got to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, some stuff I know is coming up tomorrow, but in my mind, I'm like, I'll see how I feel when I get to it.
And you know what? I'm glad you said it and is able to keep it a buck with yourself and everybody else, because it's for that reason why even stuff that you and I try to do together, because I know I live by the calendar, and not only because I live by the calendar, but things, when it enters my calendar, it prohibits something else from going there.
Yeah.
I think I make it a point to always let you know when I'm putting something in my calendar that me and you are doing.
Yeah.
So even if you think it's like, man, I'm gonna just vaguely make these arrangements for free, I need you to know it's blocking out anything else that could go in there.
Yeah, but
and then I'm like,
but some of it comes from that though. Some of it comes from me used to me being like that and having people just be so like frivolous with whether they follow through or not.
Yeah,
and me
locking straight, call, no show.
Yeah, countless studio time.
Yeah, you told me about those times.
No shows and locking away that time. So I keep thinking. So my thing is this. When you tell me you're going to do something, or if you're going to do something with me, I'm unconsciously like looking for signs to see how committed you are. Then it goes on. Like if you hit me, like if we plan an event a week later and in between the week, you hit me twice, like, yo, you still good for Friday, right? I'm like, oh snap. You know what? Let me lock this in. He hit me twice. You know what I'm saying? I don't hear from you all week, and all of a sudden it's like Friday at like 2. I'm like, I don't know about this guy. This might not make the calendar.
That is hilarious. I could totally see you doing that, yo. But
no,
even
gonna make the calendar. I ain't hear from him in a minute. I think he might, you know what I'm saying? Like,
the crazy part though, in my head I'm thinking, even with the people, so put the like studio clients aside. Put the other stuff you do, you know, outside the house aside. You have a big family, though. Like, you have a wife and 2 kids and active kids, like kids that do stuff. How does just juggling those things don't force you to feel like you need a calendar?
So I didn't say I didn't put anything on the calendar.
No, but like, it's detailed. So I'm even saying.
So there's some stuff like kids related, like, you know, doctor visits that I'll definitely put down. Things that are
kids'
like
games.
Kid
and times.
Kids' games and times. Like there's certain things that I will, my wife needs me to do something and I make sure I don't forget. Well, my wife's calendar and I sync too, so sometimes I don't even have to put it on there. She'll do it and it'll just be on there for me. But other things like, you know, I got to gauge it. I got to gauge to see what level of commitment is going to require because, again, you commit time to something, it doesn't go the way you think it's planned, you feel like, yo, I just wasted that time. You know what I mean? Mm. But definitely the more serious things are on there.
I got to have the time. And you know what? It's vindicated me in a would-be otherwise husband and wife spat. I'm like, yo, you can check the calendar, the receipt right there.
So here's the other thing. Do you set calendar reminders? Because I've put stuff on my calendar, didn't click the reminder button, and I completely forgot. Because something that's the buzz on my phone, like an hour before, 2 hours before.
Well, I don't know. What kind of, are you using Google Calendar?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't recall ever doing this, but once I started using Google Calendar, for everything I put in it, it gives me a 30-minute.
Right.
Like so, advance, like I get a notification that this is coming up.
Right, but here's what happened to me. If you changed it at any point for a previous event, it stays that for the next one. So I think I turned it off for something that I didn't need. And then when I went to go do the next one,
it removed all your reminders.
It kept the setting from the previous one. Mm. So now, but I'm more mindful about it now. I go in. I do like an hour, 30 the day before. Mm. I make sure like.
Or I'll just go outside of the calendar altogether and just set an actual alarm, phone alarm.
Yeah?
I have to do that. Like I'll be like.
Nah, I ain't go that far.
Because then how many times your notifications on your phone are silent notifications? So true. I'll get the Google but my reminder, phone, but it's silent.
My phone, it stays on my screen though until I exit out. Like it pops up on your screen. The first thing you do when you unlock it.
Oh, okay.
The first thing you do when you unlock it is that thing. You have to X out of it to tell your phone that, okay, I saw it.
That works.
So I'm on my phone a lot. So as soon as I open my phone, it's like, oh yeah, that thing, X. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it is.
How busy is the youngin' man now? Every time I look on your social media, it seems like he's like doing a ton of sports. Like you're mad busy with that.
Yeah. He's super busy and I keep him that way because
that doesn't equate to you also being super busy?
Yeah, because I coach him and everything he's done since he was four. I've been his coach since he was 4 years old. And that's intentional. But it does keep me busy, but fortunately, the way I look at it is if he was playing a sport, right? I would be dropping him off and picking him up anyways. So, like, I'm there. Mm-hmm. I'm at the practice anyway, so it's like I might as well be coaching. Yeah. I'm at the game anyways, so I might as well be on the field. So,
and how many sports is this?
So, right now he's in one sport. Yeah, I stopped doing multiple sports like 2 years
ago. I mean,
ago.
But at the same time. Sports end in certain seasons or whatever. Like yeah. So
he's just one sport. He's in basketball right now. That's it.
Right now, but when the season changes, he goes another sport.
Yeah, he goes another sport.
Yeah, so I'm saying, how many sports altogether does he play?
Three. So you got basketball, and you're soccer, coach for all football. Of them. Yeah. Because
dedication, man.
But again, that's what everybody says. But I'm there.
Yeah, but like now when you become a coach, you have to be there, also mentally and emotionally for all the other
all
kids.
All the kids, yeah.
Like that's the part that I'm thinking is mentally draining.
Yeah, it is. But I felt like even when I
was, I got to hold all you kids up here in my head now about what y'all need to be working on. I can't just focus on my kid.
Yeah. It is. But again, it's just like that stuff is part of my DNA. Just being youth, sports, mentorship. It's in my DNA, so I'm not out of my realm of things that I love to do in that coaching capacity. So it don't really bother me. It only bothered me when I was doing multiple sports, and that's when I felt like it's overwhelming. Now that I'm doing one sport per season, it ain't too bad. And I'm training him too when he's not at a game or practicing. So, but yeah.
I know earlier too, when we was talking, we had like mentioned a bunch of like potential topics that we could have discuss today.
Yes, sir.
But one, you know, the platform Free Lunch is always, you know, trying to have the conversation around these three things of you know, entrepreneurship, family, and then one's faith, right? So those three things, sometimes all three, sometimes the topics are just about one.
Yeah.
Of the three. But speaking of just, you know, segueing from your degree of involvement with your son, you know, so you as a family man, you as an entrepreneur, I think every time, any other time I talk with you, the conversation is always touching on all three at one time, I think, because of just where you stand and how you just, you know, live out your life the way you do. Whether it's the entrepreneurship endeavors, whether it's the music you're doing, whether it's the, you know, coaching, the being a father, being a husband, and then you being a man of faith also, all those three come into the topic. So one of the things we were talking about earlier was, you know, sort of, we were talking about the nuclear family. And I know you were saying one of these facets were like a much longer conversation. So I want to really like narrow it to one specific thing that comes out to mind when we talk about like, you know, this like nuclear family idea. And that was the fact that we, I'll probably word it differently to keep it, you know, kind of narrow to that area. But we as men not communicating the same way that women communicate. And in the context of like, you know, family, you know, husbands don't communicate the same way, wives or whatever. Even for those of you guys who are listening who are not married yet, just even in dating, you could see that you communicate differently.
Yeah, they're built differently.
So that's a communication thing. And so because of that, you could then piggyback off of communicating and also encompass. A lot of times people associate the word communicating with speaking. But communicating as a whole also involves listening. Absolutely. So as men, we not only speak different, but we also listen different.
Absolutely.
Than, you know, maybe absolutely. Our wives' counterparts. So when you're navigating the stuff, I know you're navigating the listeners, those who are listening, you guys might not know bro to the degree that I do, but you're doing the you know, music production, you do, you know, these sports faithfully with your kid, you have two kids, you have a wife, you also are heavy in like the real estate, like flipping like thing now, you've been like killing that. When it comes time for you to communicate your vision, the vision you have going into each season, like this real estate thing has been like a fairly new season in comparison to your music production journey.
Correct.
You've been doing music for so many years.
Yeah.
You've been now doing the real estate for a number of years, not nearly as close as music production, but now I imagine this is like another season, another vision for yourself and even maybe for your family, how you see how it could help your family.
Yeah.
When it comes to that, how are you, if at all, you know, how are you communicating when you have this new facet in which you want to reveal yourself, present yourself to the world? Like your wife has known you, again, and up until when you started doing the real estate, maybe I've known my husband as he does this, you know, as his 9-to-5, and then he makes music. Yeah. And that's kind of it. And then you're very involved in your church community.
Yeah.
And then now when you want to add something else, how are you like community, like just navigating that?
Yeah. I mean, just speaking specifically to this new season and where I feel that we're going as a family, especially with the transition into real estate, communicating like any other thing, takes practice. It takes some level of intentionality, and there's always room to grow, right? So I don't look at communicating as something that you just automatically just good at. And if you're And if you're in a relationship or a marriage and you don't feel like there's great communication, it's not that you'll never be great communicators. It's just you have to put the work in, right, to become better communicators. And so my wife and I, we're going into 13, 14 years, right, and growing and communicating along the way. And every year we do visions. Every year we set goals. We're coming up onto the new year now, so a lot of you guys were listening right now. Probably getting
the new goals and gear.
The new goals and gear, you know. And so much like that, when I felt like there was a time to transition into going into the real estate, which is something that's been on my heart for a while, I'm glad you brought up communication because that was crucial. Because this particular vision was really the first time I made an intentional decision to make sure that my spouse was in on it from the jump, just the mere thought of it. Usually, especially as men, we get the business plan together, we get the details together, we put together in a nice package, and then we say, honey,
check out this package.
I didn't do that this time. This time it was, my wife was in it from the beginning, giving feedback. I think this would be a good idea. What about this avenue? Giving the same feedback back to her. Okay, I like what you said there. Let's add this component. Time frame. Let's try to launch this here. What do you think about this time? I don't know about that time. Let's launch it over.
That's good stuff.
And what was so, and that was a God-given like revelation too, because if you know me, and my wife knows this about me, my mind is on 50 different things at once all the time. Being someone that's considered like a jack of all trades, I do a lot. Chris is not even touched like half the things that I'm doing randomly. So my brain tends to go in all these directions, and it's a gift and a curse, because when your brain is going in all these directions, you tend to not know where you should put most of your energy. And so here's the revelation. I felt like God was saying, put the energy in the thing that the family is involved in, the thing that it's not just you. And the thing that wasn't just me, when I broke it all down in my head, is like, man, my wife and I has been on the same page with this real estate thing. Like, she's been like in this and enjoying the process. So then it became, oh, so that's where the energy is going.
I love that.
That's where we're going to really get our feet and our hands dirty. Yeah, and get this thing off the ground. And wouldn't you know it, man, within the span of like 2-3 years, man, I'm flipping these houses crazy.
That's fire, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
But you know what that brings to my attention, like it brings to my mind, is like, you know, this idea that our the efforts that are blessed most are those that have unity. Mm-hmm. You know, so like it almost reminds me of like, you know, the story, like the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
Right? Like they did so well, or was able to accomplish so much or so high with this tower, because there was this oneness of communication.
Same language, yeah.
And I love that you said this time around you decided to include her from the planning stages. Now, I felt like I had a recent big transition with me going to grad school recently. I thought I was being responsible as a communicator with my wife in letting her be a... That's what it was. I see now the difference that you made that I didn't. Mm-hmm. So historically, I did what you first said not to do. Yeah. Historically, I'd get the whole package together and then be like, boom.
This is
what we're doing. This time, I made a change, but it wasn't the right change.
It was
still in a good direction.
Okay.
So I made a change where I go, you know what? I'm not going to have the entire picture together and bring it to you. I'm going to get, still by myself, each step together and let you be aware.
Okay.
And it was letting my wife have a degree of awareness this time.
Correct.
That otherwise, historically, I didn't do.
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, I'm gold. Like, yo, I told you.
Right.
This what I'm doing at this point. Then,
yeah.
When that stage came again, I told you what I'm about to do next.
I can see.
Instead of going to my wife and saying, hey, here's what I'd like to do. What do you think about this? And then each little step along the way, it feeling like there's an actual co-participating, correct. You know what I mean? And so I love that you had that like added step to it.
Yeah.
And I love how you segued into the top of the conversation anyways, and it gives someone like myself hope and not to be too, you know, down that, hey, communication is something that you can continue to improve upon.
Exactly.
So I made a major improvement.
Correct. And you will start to make other changes and improvements as you go along. But let me note this, because as I'm thinking about what you're saying, I don't know if you necessarily, well, let me put it in context. It's not that you necessarily made a mistake. I think there's a discovery component to this. Mm-hmm. So you probably felt you met the need at that level.
You're right.
But you're discovering like, okay, so you need a bit more.
Yeah.
You need me to go a few steps back. Okay.
That's what it is.
Gotcha.
I love that discovery.
Right? So you're discovering like what works best for us. And that's part of the growth process too, because it's not like she told you something and then you came in the wrong. It's not like she said, listen, don't do nothing major.
Yeah.
Right? Without, and then you went and did the opposite of what she said.
Yeah.
You said you were doing what you thought was the best step.
I made the adjustments. That I thought was sufficient.
Correct.
And then you find out later.
Okay, we got to tweak it.
I got to tweak that a little.
Yeah, you got to tweak it. But let me add this to it too. Let me add this to it too. For the listeners, everybody's different too. Like, so my original concept of putting together the package might have been perfect for another relationship. Maybe there's another relationship where the spouse just wants to see that, man, you thought this through.
Facts.
Oh, I love that. Okay, boom. Okay. Okay. Page 9. Okay, I like what page 9 said. Boom. And they're happy. Whereas another relationship, I'm like, man, I wish you had included me in the beginning, man. I had some thoughts on page 9.
I like that.
You know what I'm saying? You got to figure out where it makes sense for your family. I'm in a season right now where my wife is like she is my partner, like legit in everything that I do. You know what I mean? So if you're working with a partner that's got skin in the game, you're not going to make decisions without your partner.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So my wife is that individual with a lot of the ventures I go into.
And, you know, another part of me, that's so fire, bro. That discovery element.
Oh, yeah.
That because there's no, I think to me it points to understanding that the greatest component of mastering communication with anyone, your coworker, your children, your spouse, your girl, your man, whoever, the greatest component is not so much what you're saying, but the listening, the discovery component of communication.
Yeah.
And I don't really know to what degree that's really taught in professional communication spaces or whatever. Yeah. Like, I know people tell you, you know, teach you about active listening, you know, that's a thing.
For sure.
But I don't know, I'm not sure if that gets the amount of credit or, you know, weight as, you know, people making sure, hey, you know, you're an excellent public speaker, or how you say something. Mm-hmm. Like, those things are important, no doubt.
Right.
But I think in this context especially, I knew my listening is how I inform my tongue.
I like that. I like that.
Like in the world of communication, what the ear is to the tongue is almost like what the heart is to the body. Like,
yeah.
Heart stop, body not doing nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or if it is, it's doing it involuntarily and disorderly and out of whack. You know what I mean? So it's like, I actually don't really know. I could be the dopest communicator verbally. I could be the dopest public speaker. I could be the dopest. You give me a message that's fire, that's killing it. It's filled with all the dope, how they teach you, the public speaking gurus. It's filled with all the dope components, like storytelling, you know, great vernacular, big words, you know, simple words, whatever the going thing is. But you put that same speaker who's excellent, you put that same message in the wrong audience or the wrong room, and it can mean catastrophe because you had not the discovery phase.
Correct.
You didn't know what that room or that audience required or needed. So maybe they only needed a little bit about what you said.
Yeah.
Maybe they needed none of what you said. So just like how you are sharing with the, like some of the listeners, listen, like, hey, the way you packaged it before in the past, that is killing it for someone's wife.
Right.
I'd rather you, don't you bring me no details and asking me questions. That's going to hurt my brain. I need you to handle that. Bring it to me when it's all done and boom.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Someone else, like you said, like your wife, is, hey, I want to feel involved. I want to feel like an integral part. And I think for me, what's confusing is like, or just could be tough, is my wife is sort of, depending on what she has going on in her world, she can kind of vacillate between two versions. You know what I mean?
Depending
it's
on
like,
where she is.
You know what I mean? Like, I have the bandwidth to be involved more.
Right.
So include me, honey.
Yeah.
And then we could get to a season where, like, yo, you was, like, swamped and killed. So, but again, back to your discovery point, if I'm paying attention, if I'm listening, if I have my pulse, if I have my finger on the pulse of my household, my marriage, my relationship, I can actually read that better over time. I get better with that, I think.
And I think, too, so let's not absolve... So it's a two-way communication, right? Communication is a two-way thing.
Let's talk about it.
Let's not absolve. Let's talk about
it. It's not all on us.
The other side, all... because you don't want to put the pressure of because you listen, all your, so your antennas can be, what's the word I'm looking for? You're like how you hear can also vary based on the type of day you had, fatigue. Other things you got going on in mind, stress, anxiety, all these things. So you may have been a, you may have heard really great last week, but this week you're going through some different things, and maybe you didn't catch what was the other partner was putting down. What's important is that the other side is also communicating in such a fashion that listen, I can grasp, you know, where you're coming from, and can put two and two together and see exactly what you know. What needs to be done, what needs to be communicated, et cetera. If the pressure is on just how well I listen, how well I, that's too much pressure. That's too much pressure to be in a relationship.
No, it's that's too much pressure
to be in a relationship because you're not going to always hear how you're supposed to hear.
Exactly.
And obviously there's some grace there, you know, hopefully there's some grace there. I know some relationships is tough. It's like, listen, I told
get
you.
Get it wrong once.
You know, how you ain't.
30 lashes.
You know, a lot of women want you to be able to read body language. They want you to be able to read a mood, gauge the mood of the room.
Yep.
Some men, in one day, you might be good at that. Today, you just thinking about something you heard from your boy that's wrecked you, and you're like, and you ain't, you're not picking up the signs.
Yeah.
In her mind, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
In your mind, it's like, dealing with this thing.
Yeah,
I ain't picked that up. You know what I'm saying? So it got to be both ways because at the end of the day, it's too much pressure for either one to just be solely responsible for how they hear and constantly interpret what they hear the way you thought it should have been interpreted and all this type of stuff. So communication, man, it's super complex to a degree, but it could be simple as well if it's being practiced and there's grace and growth expected. Right, no one going into a situation expecting the other one to completely get it every time.
I disagree on the simple part. I really don't think communication is simple at all, man. I think it's one of the most complex.
I said it's complex and simple at the same time. The simple side of it comes from just having a healthy communication discourse, right? Some people have unhealthy communication because you could be in a relationship where communication is to the best of each other's ability being practiced and constant and still there could be disputes. Still, there could be issues. Still, there could be misinterpretations. Mm-hmm. Still, there could be attitudes and things that I develop. Even though you feel like, man, we are actually doing okay. I mean, we even go to counseling for this, and we're doing all the things. There's relationships that are doing all the things.
So literally what you're saying is pointing to why I say it's complex.
So it is complex, but I'm just saying, like, if you are doing some of the steps, the hope is that you're on a your communication, what do you call it? Chart.
Trajectory.
Trajectory is getting better and not getting worse over time, especially if you're talking about, again, my wife and I, we're going 14 years. I would hope that we're getting better at communicating with each other.
You'd hope so.
I would hope so, but.
I mean, but the other thing is too, in terms of getting better at anything.
I'll just say just one thing. And so here's the point I'm getting at. Like I said, it could be simple. There's some couples who show up. They just know each other. Like, I already know what you're thinking. I already know what you're about to say. All right, I know how you like to do that.
Yeah. There's simple moments.
There's moments where you're at such a point where it's just like, oh yeah, I even got to ask. I already know what she's gonna say.
Yes.
And then there's a more complex situation where it's like, yo, this is a lose lose. There's no way I was gonna know what you're talking about when you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's one of those things where like you don't get to enjoy the simple versions or components without putting some real work in. Before that.
That's the marriage as a whole. Never mind like just the community.
So you get to at some point you do get to like a trajectory, right? You do get to a plateau space where, yo, we kind of coasting on this particular facet, this thing. But I was gonna say, I think when in regards to something getting better, like you said, 14 years of marriage, you would like to think that you're getting better. But I just want to add a caveat to that. For the listeners, is that, and not that you're saying this either, but time alone is not what makes something better. Is you're not going to get better unless you are actually engaging in that thing that you hope to get better for 14 years. So the first 10 years of our marriage, we could have just been doing our best to avoid the tough conversations, the doing the digging to figure out the right way you want me to communicate. Well, you communicated that wrong, or you ain't say that right. And just going about the distance until you learn and discover more. Then we get to have an expectation of getting better.
Yeah.
You don't get to have an expectation of doing or getting better in any part of your relationship without doing some work in it, without engaging in it. The years alone just passing by. And I think some of us really could be fooled into, maybe not communication, but in other areas of just dating or relationship, people just think, yo, man, we've been together for this long. How come ...
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it's because you have to be actively engaging in that ... that thing or whatever.
Right.
For it to get better. Time alone just is not going to do this. But it makes me think of, like, again, those marriages where people have been married for like 20, 30 years and then get divorced after 30 years. I'm like, bruh.
But that's usually...
How did that happen?
That's usually not a communication thing.
No, I'm saying whatever the thing is, it's the thing that's apparently something wasn't being engaged with to improve.
Mm, okay.
That's what I'm saying. So whether it's communication or another area of the relationship, somebody was just thinking, time will go by and this will work itself out.
Yeah.
That mindset.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, man, I don't want to tangent and go there because, it's going to take a lot more to discuss. But that's why the nuclear family, that's one of the main reasons why the nuclear family is under attack. And it's because you have all these marriages, man, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, people getting divorced. Right?
Society's
starting to think like, yo, is this what we're supposed to be doing, bro? Are we supposed to be doing this? Are we supposed to be getting married like that? Because the formula don't look like it works.
We're not supposed to be getting married, yo. But you know what was piggybacking off of at the beginning where I said, you know, men communicate different than women. That includes speaking and how we also hear. Mm-hmm. You had made the comment earlier on the phone where you were saying, hey, somebody was saying because of that difference, this is why you were saying part of why the nuclear family is under attack, right? Like, should we even be getting married? Because this is like, see how we do this different. Mm-hmm. In my head, I've always been raised, like, and this is not even like, I don't know, you know, call it like a, probably not even like a religious thing, but to me, it always represented a needed balance. It's like how it's why we see in spaces like, let's say, again, just because I have experience in law enforcement, mm-hmm. right? While we hear, see movies, make funny of it, or, you know, the whole good cop, bad cop thing.
Yeah.
Right? It's because the outcome is something that gets accomplished what it is you were trying to accomplish,
balance,
right?
Balance.
It's a balance, right? Yeah. You could take it in any other context. We have like yin and yang, right? It's like something, yeah, yeah. Fire
there's,
and ice.
There's something,
right? There's something that fire is going to be fantastic at.
Yeah.
And fire, you could say, should have no business dealing with ice because diabolically different. You're right. But then what happens when fire wishes to accomplish something that only ice can do?
Right.
Like, so
there's a balance.
You see that, hey, when I'm here, I might need somebody to operate here or vice versa, you know, like to get the job done. And so in my mind, I'm like, I can see the fiery differences. I can see the dopeness of my wife. But I think here's what, and again, bringing it back full circle to the listening and the discovery part, right?
Right.
Here's the greatest discovery, I think, when it comes to communication in the context of just doing relationship. Especially for those of us entrepreneurs out there where one of you guys are a dreamer or, you know, a visionary chaser, and another one of you are more just cool with being corporate world 9-to-5er. Here's the biggest discovery is when I look at my wife, when I evaluate my wife, when I make value judgments about my wife, the biggest discovery I have that blesses me time and time again is seeing how she is great at something where I lack. Not being able to be so ego-driven or up here or arrogance or whatever it is that usually causes people to be stumbled and not discover that and see that. But because I can see that, I've discovered it so early in our marriage, it's the thing that reels me in when my ego would rather take me rampant some other direction or... I could be so, I could be drunken with this idea of leadership, mm-hmm. right? Where I'm blinded by, she dope so, at that. And so, you constantly, time and time again, see that you be lacking right here.
But that's the key word, though. You said one of the ways you value.
Your value wife. Judgment, yeah.
If that's not a value piece for you, right? If that's not the thing that you find, like there are men in relationships who they see that as the fact that they're, for example, if my wife is better than me at organizing things and maybe let's say organizing the finances, there are men that they miss it. They enjoy the spoils of being able to, their finances being managed very well. Mm-hmm. But they miss that she's the one that makes it so that you have
that peace of mind
with the finances. And so if you miss that component, I can see a man over time being in a good situation and then drifting to something else that can't do that because he didn't miss it, so to speak. It wasn't something he valued to begin with. So when he went to go see something else that had something that he found attractive, it didn't even dawn on him, like, I don't even know if you really can do the things my wife does. Because you never really actually paid attention or even valued some of the things that she does. And so those are like the principles and the characteristics that come along with keeping the nuclear family together and what the roles are and what the expectations are some of the things that's breaking down the nuclear family and why people feel like it doesn't work anymore. Because I'll use your fire and ice example. You know, you got relationships where ice is trying to be fire. Mm-hmm. Fire is trying to be ice.
Mm-hmm.
It gets to a point where it's like...
We're saying like, I could do it all. I could do it.
Why do I need that? Why do I need that? What do I need you for? Which I need, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I mean? People are being forced into situations that devalues the beauty of what makes the man and the woman work. There's a beauty there, right? Without even getting like deep spiritual, on a basic level in how society operates, if done properly.
Yeah, yeah.
If
and
done,
that's the big asterisk,
right,
Mark?
Right. If done properly. And so it's interesting
because there's the husband and wife where why people are feeling the way they feel. That's failing,
correct?
Because
So anytime I'm in a debate with somebody or somebody who is against the nuclear family. They always approach the conversation from a perspective of what doesn't work.
Yes.
And I'm always from a perspective like, I understand the areas that you see that don't work and there's some validity to that. But if you were to understand how it was supposed to work, you'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
Like if you were to understand the beauty in
the
dynamic of the man and the woman raising a family together, how to raise children, you would then realize, oh, okay, because I sympathize with people that say that had experiences where it was hard for them to see a healthy example of it.
Yeah,
I sympathize with them because it's like, yo,
you
were raised around, or you just saw a lot of dysfunction.
And I loved, like, you know, again, I loved using the yin yang. I'll wrap us up with this. I love seeing the yin yang symbolism for that balance because. You know, I'd imagine most people have seen the symbol, but I'll try to do my best to describe it. So having like this circle that ends into a point that's white. It's a white circle that ends and curves into a pointed shape and then has a black center. And then it's connected with another circle that's curved into a point that's black and has a white circle. What I love about the small dot or circle within the other is that the dot reflects the majority of the body color of the opposing side, right? And so for me, what that means is that although I'm black, I have this eye at the center that's white that sees you. Mm. And the other side is going, although I'm white, I have this eye, this black spot at the center of me that sees you. Mm-hmm. And that's why it reflects that dot in the inside, right? Yeah.
That's the idea.
And to me, that represents, again, seeing the eye. It all points to discovery, right? I see you. I can make a value judgment that's appropriate, that's fitting. Mm-hmm. And I think that at the end of the day is what that's really what's been lost is us our ability to see the value in one another.
Yeah.
And not be threatened by that value.
Not be threatened by it.
Because that's a whole nother topic right there. Just feeling threatened by someone else's, forget relationships.
Right.
Anyone, other races, like people being threatened by, if you show signs of awesomeness and power, that's a threat to my awesomeness and power. Right. For you to be empowered means for me to be made powerless. That's a whole nother, like that's a deep stronghold on people's minds. And that's why then we have, you know, the attack, whether it's racial attacks on one another, whether it's sexist attacks is like, hey, you know, I can't afford for you to be empowered. I can't afford for you to be, see yourself as this huge value. Cause then it's going to immediately mean I have less.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good stuff.
I'm gonna let you leave us with the last word, man. Cause you got to give us the free food for your soul, man.
The free food for your soul. I don't know how many episodes. Are you going to do a lot more episodes before the end of the year? Probably not, right?
I will, but they won't be obviously released all before the end of the year.
Because I really wanted to close with like some thoughts, some things that going into the new year.
Yeah, that's what I'm letting you do. You have time.
You should be thinking about, because we talked about this.
You have 8 minutes.
Yeah, because we talked about this earlier, like this whole thing that's going around now where people are saying these are things that we need to leave in 2023.
What stuff we need to leave in 2023, y'all, not taking to the new year.
Right, but this, right, so that's what I want to talk about, because I think like this year we've seen a lot of different mindsets through social media and through some of the more popular conversations, more viral conversations that are happening. Mm-hmm. And one of them, and we kind of, with discussing the nuclear family, kind of touched on it. And one of them is like the gender wars. I feel like we came out of a year where there was a lot of male versus female. Even some of the most popular podcasts, if you look at the undergarment of what the whole point of the podcast is to pin men against women and women against men. Like, oh, men are like this, women are like that. Like the whole draw, and they get the most views. Like if you look at some of these podcasts where we're discussing some of these topics, people are so drawn to these types of podcasts and shows where, you know, it's the men versus the women and the women versus the men and da 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 da. And my thing is, listen, man, we got to leave the gender wars in 2023. 2024, let's get used to lifting each other up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Lifting up the women, the ones that are, even if their dynamic and their family looks different from yours. Lifting them up and vice versa, women lifting up, you know, the men, bro. Like, even if you had a situation that was traumatic, it doesn't mean you got to put the next man down or assume that the next man is just like the situation you came out of. Lift that man up so he could be better for the person he may be with. You know, in the relationships he might find.
So that's what
we're
leaving in 2023.
So, yeah, man. That's what you feel we need to leave. I think we got to, because, you know, just piggybacking off this conversation about the family, like, we got to leave the gender wars behind, man. We pinning each other. And interestingly enough, man, it's among the black community, too, where it's prevalent constantly.
Yeah.
Men versus the women. Women versus men. You know, blue pill, red pill, all this stuff that they be talking about. Now they got a pink pill, I heard somewhere. I don't know. But
I'm a clap back with this and paralleling it with the reason. Here's my thinking about why it will not be left in 2023.
I know it ain't gonna be left in 2023. I'm just telling you that we should.
Okay, here's my thing is that polarizing topic.
It's too good.
It's just like how those of us in the music industry, those of us, you know, real hip hop heads or lyricists, how we say we need to leave mumble rap alone or we need to stop having these artists coming out mumble rap.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why that will not stop, and at least no time soon, is because the consumers demand it. The consumers, By them consuming mumble rap, you are the ones that control and guide the rest of the industry.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And so the same with these topics that we so-called say we sick of hearing. My rebuttal to those people, not that these are rebuttals to you specifically or specifically to those people who say, hey, I'm sick of these topics. My rebuttal just in general is we as a collective people, though, or collective consumers, though, are clearly not sick of it. Because the minute we are sick of it, we will stop consuming it. And then immediately, as soon as we stop consuming it, the industry, because its job is to make money off our consumption, it will only start to produce the stuff we consume. So when we no longer want to see the polarizing topics of gender wars, or we no longer want to see, you know, all of these negative stuff on our feed, no, you can fill in the blank. Whatever it is you're sick of seeing, we must, as a collective people, show the industry that we are sick of seeing it by our ability to stop consuming it, stop engaging with it, stop sharing it. Even if in our head, we like, yo, I was just sharing it though to just tell my boy or tell my, like, look how crazy this is, how stupid. Nah, but you're sharing it. It's jarring and shaking the algorithm. Hey, people love
good,
this.
Man, it's too good.
It's juicy. And guess what? Listen. I'm not getting on the pedestal or holy now. Listen, I consume my own fair share of toxic stuff. I'm going to keep it a buck. And I can do better. We all can do better. So let's do that. In 2024, as we approach, man, I want to just simply be better at letting my yes be yes, my no be no, being of a resolute mind. That's one for me. Yeah. What is it that's one for you that you think you personally just want to leave in 2023? Something that we could better control is ourselves, right? So what is something that you want to leave in 2023 for you?
I think I kind of want to steal your answer a little bit.
Really?
Just the indecisiveness. You know, just being indecisive and being more, and then to combat that with more intentionality.
I love it.
You know what I'm saying? So it's
my man, bro. I like that, man.
You know what I'm saying? So,
I like that.
And that's really, you know, that's my goal for 2024, intentionality. Yeah. A guy gave me that like 3-4 weeks ago.
Intentionality.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, shoot, y'all see this dude already in the feed, in the description always of the podcast episode. This is the one and only your man, Track Major Production himself. Shout out the brand too, bro.
Raise Your Standard Apparel, man. It's another one of those things when we were talking about earlier that I'm involved in my apparel brand. You can find me on IG at RYS Apparel. Follow. The merch is up there. Message me, man. We doing it all.
This dude is amazing, y'all. Hey, thank y'all for tuning in. It's free lunch, free food for your soul, y'all. Peace.